Blog Talk Radio.
It's another beautiful day on Brown Sugar Radio. Get ready to ignite a passion and purpose of overflow. Cherish the value of being you and nurture your soul. Handle your business like a boss and take full control. I invite you to engage upon a journey of greatness and use the gifts within that God has made. This is the time to win and not to lose. So sit back, relax, and take off the blues. Get ready for another exciting segment here on the hottest urban show on the internet. It's Brown Sugar Radio.
Well, here we are again with another action-packed segment from your girl, Kim. And, you know, we're doing some major things today here on Brown Sugar Radio. I want to let you know that we have a very special guest. I'm just so excited to have none other than Navi Robinson in the building today on Brown Sugar Radio. And for the loyal Brown Sugar Radio listeners, I know many of you may have some questions. If so, you can direct them in the chat. He is conducting an open interview. If not, sit back, relax, and like I say, take off your shoes because we're going to do it how we do on Brown Sugar Radio today. I want to welcome a man that is from Chicago, had a diverse background, had the privilege of living in Liberia, and yes, I said it, Liberia in Africa, and has just been exposed to many cultures and languages. Welcome to Brown Sugar Radio, Navi Robbins.
Hello?
You there? Okay. I was like,
yes,
did I lose?
I'm here.
Okay.
No, I'm here.
All right.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.
You know, I really want to say I'm very selective with the guests that I bring on the show. And it was something about you, because I see you all the time on my Facebook wall, you know, that I felt inspired to have you as a special guest. And I wanted to say now, first of all, you know, it stems back to just having a connection with people and being able to see people that stand out. And it was just something about you. I said, I want to bring this man onto Brown Sugar Radio because I know that somebody needs to hear what you have to say. And before we went live, I was actually, for my Brown Sugar Radio listeners, you know, I like to get up close and personal with my guests. And Navi was sharing with me how, you know, his childhood and just different things he went through. And one of the most impressive, I have to say, is the fact that your experience in West Africa, you know, living there for 7 years, being able to experience such a country that many will never even get to experience in a lifetime, you know, and what you took from that, and now in your adulthood, you're transitioning that into your novel. I got to say big ups to you because you're doing some amazing things. You're so gifted and talented with your vision. And I want to ask you, let's go back to when you were 10 years old and your family told you you had to move to West Africa. Was you like, what? You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Actually, at first when my mother said, we're moving to Liberia, West Africa, I looked at her like, okay, did somebody slip something in her drink, West
Are you
Africa?
Serious? Right.
I was looking at her like, you have to be. We were living in New Orleans at the time, and, you know, we had just got back from, like, a two-week vacation to Amman, Jordan in the Middle East. I've always traveled. And so we got back. She's like, we're going to move to Liberia. So at first, you know, my little mind is thinking, like, she said we're going on another vacation. So I was a little excited. But then when she made it clear that this was permanent, that
we're
not coming back. I was like, okay, somebody has did something to my mom.
Right.
But, it was definitely hard because, I mean, as a child, you spend your life here in the United States and you feel like what you see is what you get.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea what's outside of the borders, outside of your city. you know, yes, we went to Amman, Jordan, which was in the Middle East, and it was a vacation. And with a vacation, it's just a vacation. You don't really get to live the life. You just get to experience a little pleasant piece of it when you're on vacation. But when she said, we're leaving and we're going to move, that's different.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I know, because myself, I can relate, I was in the military and got to travel, you know, all over the world, and but I didn't do Africa. I did no Africa. But, you know, I was in England, Japan, and Germany, okay? And so it was a great experience to have that, but I've always wanted to go to Africa. I don't know what it is that's drawn me to Africa, but I have always, like, that's my goal, that I want to get out to Egypt somewhere, you know? But I wanted to just ask you in regards to, first of all, I got to say congratulations, I mean, for you making it, you know, as far as you have with your novels and making it on the top 100. Not only that, but ranked at was a number 4. Congratulations, you know, with that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay? Doesn't just happen overnight. Let's talk about your journey as an author. Okay? We're going to talk about your journey as an author a little bit. And then I want to tap into, you know, how do you balance all this, you know, as a father, as a, you know, a significant other, husband, or whatever may be your personal status, you know. But I just think that it's very hard, you know, in this day and age. And I want to ask you, when did you finally realize, you know, Oprah calls it her aha moment, that you had this gift of writing and transitioning it into novels?
I would say when I first started writing music. That's why songs I used to sing. I was pursuing a music career, was in negotiations with LaFace Records down in Atlanta.
Wow.
Going back and forth. Yeah. So I used to sing all the time.
Okay, so what's your professional name, Navi?
Anaviel was my professional name. Okay. Anaviel, and I just, for as an author, I shortened it to Navi. But I thought that was my first love. And so I was writing music, I was writing songs, and then I started writing poetry. And then when my oldest son was born, I decided I needed to back away from music because it would take away so much of my time of being a father, because I was a single father then. So I was raising him on my own, so I had to make a decision. Do I want to raise my son, or do I want someone else to raise my son? So I chose the latter. I mean, I chose I want to raise my son. So I backed away from music. I started writing poetry, little short stories here and there, commentary on social media like MySpace and when Facebook first started. And then with me taking care of a 2-year-old boy, there was no time for, you know, social interaction. So I would sit at home and I started trying to write a story. And I attempted to write about 5 other books that I never got to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day I decided to combine the best pieces of each of those stories into my first book, which is Walking Among the Shadows, Awakening.
Okay.
So Walking Among the Shadows, Awakening is planned to be a 7-book series. And so, yeah, it took me 2 years to finish Walking Among the Shadows, Awakening, my first book, because the story is so original. I didn't want, it's a young adult thriller, young adult paranormal thriller. I didn't want to go the vampire route. I didn't want to go the werewolf route. I didn't want to go the future dystopian where children are killing each other, fighting each other. I want to do a totally different storyline, something that had never been heard before, something you can't say, oh, this is similar to this. So it took me about 2 years to finish that book.
Now, what made you select that genre? You know, for your first
job. Because I have a really eclectic and vast imagination. When I was younger, living in Liberia, we didn't have televisions. There were no televisions. Like, there was a television, but we watched television maybe once every 2 months, and the television was plugged into hooked into a car battery. So we had maybe an hour, maybe two, before the television went out. So the only form of entertainment was storytelling. And even at a young age, at 10 years old, I was like the AMC 30. I would just make up stories.
Right.
I would just make up stories freestyle. You know what I'm saying? Tell us a scary story. Tell us an action. Tell us this and that. So now that I think about it, even back then, I was destined to tell. I was destined to, you know, express myself. Yeah, exactly. You know, and so with my imagination, and with me being exposed to so many different cultures at a young age, I mean, I was exposed to so much that my imagination was everywhere. Science fiction, fantasy, scary movies, thrillers, because I was raised on scary movies. My mother, I was in, you know, Alien came out in 1978. And I was sitting in the movie theaters with my mom in 1978 watching Alien, the first Alien. And I was born in 1974, so I was 4 years old watching this terrifying movie. So I was raised on scary movies. So it was just so many different genres of books that I read when I was younger, movies that I've seen. So it was like, I don't want to do urban lit or something else. I want to do something where I can just let my imagination run free.
Yeah.
So that's why I chose that genre.
And now your latest novel is more of a romance, from what I've been reading, listeners. I've been trying to get deep. I'm telling you, from what I've read so far, I'm already like, wow. You truly do have a gift to come up with, and I don't want to give too much of the book away because for those who haven't read it, but what I can say is that it takes a person truly with a gift from God to be able to tap into such detail. And graphics. I mean, everyone has their own vision of what Dr. Bennett looks like. You know what I mean? And it's just, that's the beauty of having books. But go ahead. I don't want to cut off what you were getting ready to say as far as your next novel being a romance.
Yeah, that one was kind of like a spur of the moment, to be honest with you.
Okay. That one takes
I'm always.
To write.
No, it didn't. Actually, that one took about 6 months. But I wanted to challenge myself. Because I'm friends with a lot of authors that do romance, urban romance, and I've read romance novels. I mean, when I was growing up, I read, you know, Daniel Steele, Sidney Sheldon, these great authors. But what I've learned was that women write the best romance novels because they tap into the emotional connection of a woman.
Uh-huh.
They write from the perspective of a woman.
Right. Okay.
When men, when we write romance novels, we're writing from a perspective of a man. And so when you write in an adult scene or an emotional connected scene, it's kind of one-dimensional when a man writes it. But when a woman writes it, it's multidimensional because she's addressing the situation as to how she feels, how he makes her feel, her doubts about why she's feeling
this
way.
And a lot of times, don't we?
Exactly. So I wanted to challenge myself to see if I can tap into my emotional side to actually successfully write a romance novel to where when a woman reads it, she can feel it and not just read it and be like, I enjoyed that. I wanted to write a book where when a woman sat down and she read it, she felt it, where she cried when she read it, when she, you know, she got, you know, horny when she read it. She got angry when she read it, where she hated the villain so much that she wanted to throw the book
emotion
to the other side of the room. Exactly. So
that's
why I wrote that book, and then also too, it allowed me to pour into some of the past experiences that I had in Liberia to kind of writing is kind of like a therapeutic release for me with a lot of the traumatic things that I went through while in West Africa and, you know, being a prisoner of war and caught in the civil war over there for 2 to 3 years. So it allowed me to release that out so that it doesn't, you know, play with your mind because, I mean, you never get over it.
You don't get over that.
I've come to the conclusion that I would never get over the horrible things that I've seen and experienced over there. But if I'm able to release it,
right, there
it's much better.
That's your form of therapy. Some people use music. Some people use writing. Others sing. And yours is singing and writing. I didn't know you sang. Look, if I would have knew that, I would have been like, can you come on and sing? No, not sing for me, sang for me. That's what I should have asked you. Look, I make my new Brown Sugar Radio theme song. No, but that's, I'm telling you, it really inspires me to see that you came from, you know, a situation you could have looked at it. You know how that old saying, when life gives you lemons, Make lemonade.
You could have
looked at that situation in Liberia like, my life is scarred. I'll never be the same in a negative manner. you know, but you took something negative and turned it into a positive, and now you're reaching an audience. Like I said, getting in the top 100 in itself is an honor, and then ranking all the way up to number 4 is an even more prestigious honor. So, I mean, it shows you definitely have some talent. You know, brother, you're doing your thing. And I want to just let you know that and I'm going to tell my listeners this, what I recognize in you is that you have a very ambitious spirit, you know, and that you're reaching for high things in life and that you're not going to stop until you get there. And it's great to see someone that's doing something positive, pouring something in the community, showing people there's an outlet other than gangbanging or shooting or drugs or whatever may be your niche. I'm not here judging people, but I'm just saying it's just good to see positivity, you know, at its highest level of creativity, and that's what you're doing, you know. And so that's what drew me to you, to invite you as a guest onto the air. And then, you know, I definitely want to get into this book. I got to make sure I watch my time because I know we only have like about a few more. Well, we got about 13 minutes. I think I'm good. All right. There's so many questions that I have for you as far as your new book that's out and your experience, what you experienced in Africa, because I realize the story based in Africa. But as far as I want you to put us in the perspective of Dr. Bennett, you know, and how does his character come into real life issues that you've experienced as a man right now, you know, because as the book talks about, you know, him dealing with unforgiveness, and I know a lot of us have issues with unforgiveness, you know, at different levels, you know, and so how much of his, you know, his character would you say you can identify with, or is this all strictly fiction?
I can actually deal with Dr. Bennett a lot better than most. His demons that he deals with and his hesitation to feel again is actually something that I experienced for a long time. With love and failure and tragedy and things like that. From, you know, the things I went through in Liberia, from actually losing a baby at 3 months. From finding, you know, from having a difficult time trying to find
peace.
Some type of what word am I looking for? Looking for some type of stability in my love life, making bad choices with women and things like that. And, you know, I could go on and on about, you know, how this woman did me wrong and that woman did me wrong. But at the end of the day,
got a list. For real.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, I was doing the choosing. You know, we all are blessed with free will. And unless you get to know yourself, a lot of times you're not going to choose your perfect mate. You're not going to choose the perfect person for you. So even though those women may not have been the best women for me, and some of them may have been, you know, pretty, you know, horrible people character-wise, at the end of the day, I was doing the choosing. So with my connection with Dr. Bennett was, you know, all of those regrets, you know, feeling like I could have done better, I could have did something better, I could have been a better father, you know. I could have chose a better mother for my children. I could have did this better. I could have did that. I could have been a better son, a better brother, a better friend, all of these different things. And so I just poured those emotions and those regrets into Dr. Bennett, which allowed me to pour more emotions into it and kind of, you know, the door to so women can see that men have feelings too. Although we, you know, we pump our chest out and be like, you know, I'm hardcore. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't care. But at the end of the day, we actually do.
Yeah,
we're actually just as scarred. We actually, you know, feel the pain just as women do. We just try because it's expected. It's expected of us to be this way, to be, you know, just monotone when it comes to emotion. You know, if a man finds himself too emotional, then, you know,
it's
looked
soft.
At as being soft.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
You know, but with my father, I mean, he was probably one of the first men that I ever saw, strong man. He was a Chicago police officer for almost 40 years. And my father was hardcore. I mean, but he was the first man that way that I saw felt comfortable with his manhood to cry. He didn't care who was around. He cried. Something hurt him. He was happy. He cried. And that just let me know. And I didn't really get to know my real father until I was 21. But I didn't hate him for it because he was looking for me. But again, I was all over the world, you know. So it's not like he was going to hop on a plane and travel to the different continents that I lived on to look for me. But when he finally found out where I was, which at the time I was over in Israel going to school, he hopped on the first thing smoking and spent almost a month with me. So, you know, getting to know my father kind of and seeing him being comfortable with his manhood to be emotional, that helped too. And so I was able to use all of those different things to pour into Dr. Bennett.
And that's, you know, I believe as most authors probably do, you know, I mean, you really probably can't help but put a little bit of what you've seen, you know, into the book. You might just maybe take it to the next level in a novel. That's the wonderful thing about a novel is you can do stuff you probably really can't do in real life. But
yeah,
it just shows your creativity side, you know. And I know that you had expressed a lot as far as just going through nightmares, going through, you know, various types of emotional, you know, turmoil, or if that's even the right expression to use. But where, as far as an author, you know, now, do you find yourself, well, you've kind of already answered this question, you know, with the creativity that you have and your imagination, when something comes to your mind, do you just jot it down, like, right then and there, you know, or do you use a recorder to record your thoughts? You know, how do you capture that moment or that?
I'm a freestyle writer, and I have a very extensive and powerful memory. So until I move to actually write an idea down, I really don't. But it's always in my head. I always remember it. And what happens is that if that idea or that storyline keeps playing in my head like a movie, then that's when I know it's time for me to start writing. But I write freestyle. I don't do an outline or anything like that. I allow my imagination to guide me within reason. I'm not going to, you know, write a story where it's a guy from, you know, from Inglewood and next and on the middle of the book he's riding through downtown Chicago in a tank. No, I'm not going to do that. But I do allow my imagination to guide me within reason to and let the story unfold instead of me having an outline. I feel like it's constricting for me and my imagination to have like an outline because then I feel like I have to adhere to it. So I just write freestyle. I just let it flow and let the story unfold. Yes, I do have an idea of how I want it to end.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, it's up in the air.
Right. It's how you're led, or have you, like, in the middle of when you're writing a book, have you completely changed, like, oh, you know what, I ain't feeling this. I think I'm going to go this route. You know, has
exactly.
that ever happened?
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'll be like, okay, I wanted it to end this way, but you know what, no. Well, so maybe I wanted the tone of the story to be this way, but I say no. And it actually helps me to write a lot of twists and unforeseeable, you know, revelations to the reader. So a lot of times readers be like, I did not see that coming. And that's what I want. I don't want you to
right.
I don't want to write a
to
book that's cliche where you know what's going to happen. You know,
yeah.
You'll be sitting there thinking like, you know, and then once I finally reveal it, your mouth hits the floor. That is the perfect response.
Yeah, you're like, where did this come from?
Exactly. That's the perfect
response. Okay, so with your, and that's good to know, because with a father of, you have two or three children?
I have four.
Four, okay. So a father of four. You're even busier than I thought. How would you say that you balance now? You know, with you, are you working a full-time job on top of writing? Or you're like transitioning to becoming a full-time author now?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I'm definitely I'm a financial analyst. So I have a full-time job, and then I also own a computer business. I repair and build computers. And then, yes, I'm a bona fide certified nerd. and then also write, and then, yes, I'm also a father. So, right. You know, I have three of my children that live with me.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I don't have one of them living with me. It bothers me, but I have you know, take life as it gives me. But three of my children live with me. So, it can be hard because, you know, you want to make sure that you don't, you know, neglect one to advance the other. So I try to, you know, deal with my 9-to-5, deal with the family and, you know, play with the children and help my oldest son with his homework and play with my 3-year-old and play with the 9-month-old. And then once everyone goes to sleep, around 11 o'clock or so, that's when I start writing. I'd rather lose a few hours of sleep than to neglect my family or
my writing
career.
I know that's right. Yeah, that's a sacrifice. It's called short-term sacrifice for a long-term gain.
Exactly, because I do plan on, I want to do this full-time, writing full-time. I'm at a point in my life right now with, I'm really disappointed in corporate America with the way that they treat employees and the way that they treat the American people. And so I would rather leave a legacy for my children and their children's children beyond a 401k or retirement package. You know, I want for my children to benefit from what I do as a writer that wrote Lord of the Rings. His children benefit from his works. And he wrote those books before World War I. His children are billionaires.
Oh, you know, my goodness.
They'll never
That's crazy.
To work again. You know, their lifestyle and their job is to maintain their father's literature, maintain his literary works, and making sure that, you know, that's what they do. And everything, the rest of their life is free for them to do whatever.
Do you see any of your children? And if so, which one following in your footsteps as an author?
Not at the moment. Not at the moment.
No,
I do see
a love for writing in school. Or
no, not
class.
Yet. But I think my youngest son, Aiden, he's going to be a musician.
Oh.
He's definitely going to be a musician. He's definitely going to sing. He's definitely going to play instruments. He's probably going to be a much better singer than I could ever be. But, I think he will follow me in that footstep, and as well as, you know, technology, because he's uncannily gifted. He was unlocking cell phones at 3 months.
What?
I still cannot. Yes, he was unlocking cell phones.
Oh, look at that.
3 months old, he was searching on Google for computer chip fans. I can't make this up. At 3 months, his mother sent me a text at work, "Your son is searching for computer chip fans." So I do believe that those things he's going to inherit from me. Writing, I don't know. He loves to read. So he may develop that. But my oldest, I don't know. He's a teenager now, so
He's like, I ain't got time for that, Daddy. Right. Look.
Yeah, he's kind of trying to figure out what is it that he wants to do. He's trying to find his place.
Look at that. Man, I just hate we are running out of time here. I have so many more questions that I'd love to ask, but I'm going to ask you this one before we go, and then I'd love for you to share with my listeners where they can find you at as far as any social media networks that you have where they can either purchase your books at or support you. Do you... with you writing so much, have the time to read other books? And if so, who are some of your favorite authors?
Yes, I do. I definitely find time to read other books. I read indie books. I just recently finished a book by Tamara and by LaToya Chandler. Both of their books are really, really great. They were great books. But some of my favorite authors would be Stephen King, of course. Tolkien, J.R. Tolkien, J.K. Rowling, Frank Herbert, Dean Koontz, Sidney Sheldon, Gene Roddenberry. There's so many, and I know I don't have a lot of time, but like I said, I have a, you know, vast amount of genres that I love to read. But, you know, I grew up reading. I've been a reader much longer than I've been an author.
See,
so.
And that's where it usually starts, right there.
Yeah.
Definitely, Claire. Okay, I know we have to get going here because we are getting ready to come to a close. And like I said, I've truly just enjoyed having you on the air today. If you can share with my listeners where they can locate you at and purchase and support any books that you currently have.
Okay. Listeners and readers can go to www.navirobbins.com, and you can read my bio. I have a blog page there. You can purchase books. There are links so you can purchase the books and everything like that. You can read synopsis and things like that. And on www.navirobbins.com. And you can get all my information there that you may need. My Twitter account is NaviElShadows. And then my Facebook page is Author Navi Robbins. You just search up Author Navi Robbins and my Facebook page will come up there too.
All right. Well, there you go. So for all of your new readers that are getting ready to come, look, I'm going to speak it on you. I know you're getting ready to grow by leaps and bounds, and you got some great things getting ready to happen for you that probably already are in the works now, I'm sure. But definitely make sure y'all show this brother some love and support him, you know, and you know, do what you got to do. Spread the word. Let other people know that Navi Robbins is doing his thing. And so thank you so much for coming onto the air today. I know you're a busy man with a plan. I'm not going to keep you much longer, but definitely you are welcome back anytime. I'll let all my guests know you are welcome back for any promotions. Or do you have any special events coming up in the near future? Anyone can book signings, anything of that nature where they can locate you at?
First I want to say thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. Any opportunity is greatly appreciated by me. So far, what's been confirmed for me is book signing is the Decatur Book Festival in Atlanta, Georgia, September. I believe it's September, the first weekend of September.
Oh, okay.
Is when I'll have a book signing. Actually, it'll be September 4th through the 6th. I'll be in Atlanta, Georgia at the Decatur Book Festival, which is like one of the biggest indie author or just author period book festivals in the country. So I'll be there in September.
Awesome.
I don't have any other confirmed appearances yet. Thank you.
All right. Well, there you go. Absolutely. Anytime. So definitely, like I said, we do appreciate your time. So I'm not going to hold you any longer, but keep in touch on Facebook. I know, look, I'm glad I'm reaching out and networking with people, and so it's just great to have another a person that has drive and ambition and doing some great things in the world to help reach others. So, once again, we appreciate you coming onto the air today, all right?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. You all have a
welcome.
Great day.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. So, there you go. So, y'all heard it here on Brown Sugar Radio. Make sure you follow him, tweet him, and any other things. Check out his media page. We just want to make sure we support people that are doing positive things in the community, and I think it's great. And so make sure that you check us out next week. I have another special guest on the air. This will be about fitness and getting yourself together. You know how Brown Sugar does it, right? We're going to always make sure we have some great things and positive energy flowing constantly in regards to the show. And so I will see you next week, and we'll be back same time, same place. Check us out on Facebook, Brown Sugar Radio, also on Instagram, Sugar, S-U-G-A. All right, well, thank you for tuning in to Brown Sugar Radio, where entertainment is extraordinary. Make it a great day.